Whenever I preach on Romans 7, I always like to remind people that this was written as an epistle. It was a letter, and it wasn't divided into chapters, because Romans chapter 7 runs right straight into Romans chapter 8, and it's important to recognize that when you're looking at the epistle to the Romans from the Apostle Paul. I'd like to entitle the sermon, The Battle Within. The battle within. Romans chapter 7 and verse 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And I'd like to begin by saying that being a Christian is somewhat of a paradox. There's two things happening in our lives. There's peace and there's war. There's peace in our hearts, but there's also war in our hearts. And a Christian has joy. I hope you have joy. But a Christian also has discouragement and sometimes defeat and anguish. A child of God has joy because we have the joy that can only come by knowing Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that his desire for us is that our joy might be full. The peace of being a Christian comes from having peace with God. You can only have peace with God if you've been reconciled to God. It comes from being forgiven. It comes from knowing that your sins are forgiven. And it comes from being reconciled to the God of all creation. Both joy and peace, the Bible tells us, are fruit of the Spirit. Both joy and peace are fruit of the Spirit. God the Holy Ghost produces these fruit in a Christian. And just like an apple tree produces apples, a Christian cannot help but having, at least to some degree, some fruit. A Christian cannot help but at least having to some degree joy and peace. But being a Christian in this life is a complex situation, isn't it? It's a complex situation. There's a problem. And the Apostle Paul addresses that problem here. And it's a major problem. It's a major problem. It's enough of a problem that the Apostle Paul could cry out, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Oh, wretched. Do you ever feel like that? Oh, wretched man that I am. Here's the problem. The problem is that evil, that indwelling sin, is still with us in this life. The problem is that sometimes we're caught up in the devil's snares. Even though a person may be saved by the grace of God, even though they've been saved for many years, and even though we have a new spirit, a new nature and an indwelling of the Holy Spirit, there's still a war within. There's a war within. If you look at verse 23, of chapter 7, he says, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." A true child of God has this war in their heart.
Amen.
A true child of God has this war in their heart. Let me give you some bad news. The bad news is it's a constant war. It's a never-ending war. It's a constant battle, isn't it? being a Christian. Sometimes the battle's hotter than other times, but it's always a battle. Sometimes the battle's more fierce and more difficult than other times, but you still have to be, even in times when you think it's relatively peaceful in your heart, you still have to be on guard.
Yep.
So this is what the apostle is speaking of. And let me, by contrast, let me mention to you today that the unbeliever has no such battle. Now, the unbeliever may have a battle with conscience occasionally, but that's not what I'm talking about. The reason there's no battle in the unbeliever is because an unbeliever only has one nature. But a believer has two natures. It has the old man, the sinful nature, and it has the new man, the Holy Spirit, that indwells us. So there's a battle. There's a reason, oftentimes in the New Testament, the Bible calls our life a battle or a fight or a war. The Bible says we as believers are soldiers. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to go get us a gun and go down to town and start a problem. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about we're soldiers in a spiritual realm. We're soldiers in our own hearts. We don't even have to leave our house to have the battle. Matter of fact, you've read the old placard, the sign that somebody's probably hung up in their office that said, you know, I haven't been mean today. I haven't said anything mean to my wife. I haven't kicked the dog. I've watched what I've said to everybody. I've been a really nice person. But now, Lord, I'm getting ready to get out of bed, so I'm going to need some help. You don't even have to get out of bed to have the battle. The battle's taking place, isn't it? And so it's also, that's the bad thing, but there's also a good thing about it. If you're saved by the grace of God, this is a sign of assurance. What do I mean by that? I mean, because you're having a battle, that's a sign that you are a Christian. Because if you're not having a battle, that's not good. If everything's just going hunky-dory in your heart, there's no battle there, then that means there's something missing, doesn't it? The Christian knows about this warfare. A true Christian understands what Paul's saying here. A true Christian knows what it means to when they mess up real bad, a true Christian knows what it means to cry out. Maybe not audibly, but in their heart, they know what it means to cry out, "Oh, wretched man that I am," or "Oh, wretched woman that I am." They know what that means. Christianity is experimental. In other words, being a Christian is not just knowing some doctrines or performing some rituals. Christianity is knowing God in a personal way. And, you know, He lets you know, if you know the Lord, He lets you know when you mess up. Doesn't it? And sometimes it's gentle and sometimes it's not so gentle. But He lets you know. He's a good shepherd, isn't He? And He cares for His sheep, and He's going to take care of His sheep. To be a Christian means to have the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. It's crying, "Abba, Father." The Bible says, "And because ye are sons," this is Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6, "and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.'" Don't let me get you down. Okay? Even in the midst of the battle, there's joy and peace. Even in the difficulties, there's joy and peace. The Bible says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." If you don't have anything else to be joyful about this morning, you can be joyful that Jesus saved you. If everything else is going wrong, and I know for a fact that some of you have a lot going wrong, but if everything else is going wrong, you can still be joyful that you have a home in heaven. Amen. You can still be joyful that one of these days this is all going to be over and everything's going to work out perfect. You can be joyful of that. I want you to notice here what the apostle says in this passage, and then ask yourself, have you experienced some of these things? Number one, the apostle says, the apostle has a delight in the law of God. A delight in the law of God. Verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. You know, before a man comes or a woman comes to know Jesus Christ, they don't care much for the law. As a matter of fact, if you look around the world today, they're about as lawless as you can get. This world is a mess, isn't it?
Yes.
And they don't care for the law. Thou shalt not steal, they don't care for that. Thou shalt not covet, they don't care for that. Thou shalt not commit adultery, they don't care for that. I mean, the law, what God has said is wrong, the world doesn't care for. But Paul could say, I delight in the law of God.
Preach.
The world hates its strictness. And the law is strict. And the law brings condemnation. And the world hates condemnation, doesn't it? A Christian doesn't hate God's laws, though. We don't always keep God's laws, but there's a part of us that wants to keep the law of God.
Amen.
There's a part of us who delight in the law of God. Robert Murray McShane said, coming to Christ takes away your fear of the law, but is the Holy Spirit coming into your heart that makes you love the law. We ought to delight in what God says is right. A Christian doesn't seek to go to throw off God's moral law. Verse 12, notice what the apostle said verse 12 of chapter 7. Wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. The law's not bad, we are. The law's right. A Christian has a desire to be pure. There's a part of a believer that wants to please God. Though we don't always manage to do it, there's a part of us that wants to. And when we fail God, we feel it. 1 John chapter 3 says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. When a person becomes a Christian, we got a lot to learn, don't we? When you first get saved, you got a lot to learn. But I tell you what, it doesn't take very long at all till you realize that something has changed in you. And you don't want to continue on the way you were going. There's a part of you that starts trying to, and that part of you is that new man. And that new man is warring against the old man. And that new man, by the Holy, it's like one man said, every person's got a conscience unless the Bible says they've ruined it or seared it. Every person has a conscience. He said the difference between a Christian and a lost man is, this is what a man told me one time. He said the difference between a Christian and a lost man is, he said that when a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit is throwing the levers on that conscience. Our conscience, when you get saved, our conscience becomes more, what's the word I'm looking for? Sensitive. In other words, what wouldn't have bothered you when you were not a Christian, all of a sudden you kind of bothered by that.
Yep.
The Holy Spirit begins to work on us, doesn't he? Aren't you glad he's gentle? Aren't you glad he takes his time with us and he's patient? But he is working on you if you're a Christian. A true believer has a desire inside not to transgress the law of God. The psalmist said this, "O that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." We have a desire to please the Lord. So first of all, we see a desire, or a delight, I should say, in the law of God. Secondly, we see there's a war inside. Paul describes this war, a constant, never-ending, relentless battle in the soul. A love of God and his law is warring with the old man or the carnal nature. I wish when you got saved that everything, that old man died forever. He is going to, by the way, but while we're alive here, he's alive. That carnal nature is still with us. That flesh is still with us. There is never a complete peace in the heart of the believer, even though we have peace with God. You and I can have peace with God and still have a battle in our heart. It's a battle of the mind. Look at verse 23. "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind." It's a battle of the mind. Do you know just about everything begins here in the mind? I mean, our sin takes root here, doesn't it? In our mind. When we fail the Lord, it started here. When we sin, it started here. When we come back to God, it starts here. It's a battle in the mind, isn't it? It's a battle in the mind. Those fleshly lusts, the Bible says, which war against the soul. I wish I didn't do the things. I'm like Paul. I wish I didn't do the things I do sometimes. I wish I didn't behave the way I behave sometimes. I wish I didn't think the way I think sometimes. That battle is always there. So it's a war inside. Then thirdly, this is kind of tough, but we see despair. I told you Wednesday night, I got a buddy who's been on drugs and got help, and he's not on drugs now, but he always teases me and says, the first step to getting help is admitting you got a problem. That's true, isn't it? And even though we despair, there is help. Paul asked the question, in verse 24, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" I'm glad he didn't stop there. It is despairing. It is discouraging. But I want to report to you this morning that a Christian never arrives. Did you know that? That may be new to some of you. I'll go ahead and give you some new. This is, you can write this down, all right? A Christian never arrives. In other words, you'll never be perfect. You might go, I doubt you will, but you might go 2 days and not do anything wrong or think anything wrong, but I'm telling you, you're going to. I doubt you can go 2 hours. I think I can tell you personally, I doubt I can go 2 minutes. We're a mess.
Yeah.
Oh, wretched man that I am. Here's the good news, though, Les. He knows all about it. And he loves us anyhow.
Amen.
Amen. He loves us anyway. Indwelling sin is ever present with us. And as long as we're on this earth, we're in enemy territory. We're in enemy territory. And it's, you know, we need an honest assessment of ourselves. And when I say we, I mean me. We need an honest assessment. The Bible says this, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." That is so true, isn't it? Let him that thinketh he... In other words, if you think you're doing all right, you better watch out. Because you're getting ready. You're setting yourself up for a problem. It's only by the grace of God we get through every day. Well, Paul asked this question, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then he answers the question. I want to say number four, there's victory through Christ.
Amen.
There's victory through Christ. Verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I thank God. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of God. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We have the victory today because we've been redeemed. We've been redeemed. Christ, the Bible says, hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. In other words, my sin debt's been paid. And if you're a Christian today, your sin debt's been paid. And even though we fail God often, and even though we sin and have to get down on our knees and say, God, I'm sorry, even though that happens, we're still redeemed. We may lose some battles. You ever lose a battle?
Yes.
I'm not talking about fighting with your husband or your wife. I'm talking about spiritually. Amen. Have you ever lost a battle? Spiritually? You ever just felt so down and defeated that you felt like, Lord, I can't believe I done that. Or I can't believe I said that. Or I can't believe I behaved that way. Sure, everybody, if you're saved, you're bound to have felt that a time or two or more. Well, we may lose some battles, but I'm telling you, the victory's been won. The ultimate victory has been won. There's coming a day where we'll never have to fight the world, the flesh, and the devil again. We'll never have to fight those enemies again. But I want to tell you, in the meantime, God gives us, or let me put it this way, the strength is available to fight the battles. That old preacher I mentioned a minute ago, like another thing he said one time, he said, God makes a way of escape, but we don't sometimes take it.
Yeah.
And that's where we get in trouble, isn't it?
Yeah.
God gives us the strength to fight a good warfare, to fight the good fight of faith. It's available to us. It's available to us. And I want to tell you, a lot of times, the reason we get in trouble is we don't pray like we should, and we don't read our Bible like we should. And then we wonder why we get into trouble. The reason is because we've wandered away. Oh, I mean, we might still be coming to church, and we might still be going through some motions, but we've wandered away from the shepherd. And if you want to be safe, we need to stay close to the shepherd, don't we? We need to be. Verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ. It's not through our strength.
Amen.
We don't have the strength.
That's right.
Amen.
I just got through telling you you're a mess. I haven't changed my mind about that.
Yeah.
We don't have the strength. We need the Lord, don't we? We need the Lord through him. And evil is present with us. And sin dwells with us. And even in our weakness, Even in our failures, we can still have victory through Jesus Christ. Do you know what? You know what? The Bible has a prescription. You know what a prescription is, right? That's what the doctor gives you. I read a story one time about a missionary doctor, and he gave one of these natives over in one of these foreign countries, an illiterate native, he gave him a prescription. He said, "Now take this to the drugstore." He said, "And take this prescription." And the native didn't get any better. So the doctor came back a few days later and he said, "Well, did you take the prescription?" And the native said, "Yeah, I ate it. It didn't change a thing." He just ate the piece of paper. Well, look, God's given us a prescription, didn't he? I'm trying to help you today. If you're sitting here today and you've done something you feel bad about and you think, "God, I've failed you and I'm a miserable, I've done..." Listen, the Bible says that if we confess our sins, when you pray, tell God, "You know, God, you said this. You said if I confess my sins, you'll be faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. You said that, God, and I'm confessing my sins this morning."
That's good.
God's going to keep his word, amen? I'm just telling you today, you don't have to go around defeated. We're all going to fail him. We're all going to sin. We're all going to mess up. Aren't you glad that God is a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances and 7 times 70 chances? In closing, let me ask you the most important question. Have you experienced this warfare? Because if you have, that means you're probably a Christian. I don't believe a lost person. I know when I was a lost person, I didn't experience this warfare. It didn't bother me to do all kinds of meanness. Amen. When I was a lost person, it didn't bother me. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to go through the list of meanness I did, but you get the general idea. I was mean. All right. It didn't bother me when I was a lost person to be mean. That's what old Sam Jones, the old Methodist preacher, said. He had a sermon called "Quit Your Meanness." That's good advice, isn't it? Quit your meanness. Well, the inner warfare is a clear mark of salvation. It is. So, you know, some people, when they see this warfare, they think, "I'm not saved." But really, they ought to think, when they see that warfare, "Maybe I am saved." You know? It's a sign that you're having a fight, that a fight that you didn't have before. If you know nothing of it, then I'm afraid you probably don't know Christ. But if you know something about it, then there's hope. If you've known this warfare and you feel the fatigue of the battle, that's a good sign. Let me encourage you to keep on fighting. Keep on fighting. The Bible tells us to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure hardness. We should be humbled when we look at ourselves, but we should be encouraged when we look to Christ. Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am," but then he said, "I thank God through Jesus Christ." That's why I said the Christian life is a paradox. It's a mixture, isn't it? It's a mixture. We ought to be encouraged when we look to our captain. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And I think we ought to try to keep near our shepherd.
Yes.
I can tell you from experience, things don't go well when you move away from God. We should try to stay close to the shepherd. Jesus said this, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." If you're saved, you know what he's talking about, don't you? The spirit indeed is willing. That's what Paul's saying in Romans chapter 7, isn't it? The spirit indeed is willing, but this flesh is weak. Everybody's heard the illustration, but I like it. I'm going to tell you the illustration again. The old Native American, when he got saved, the missionary come by to check on him, said, "How you doing?" He said, "Well, I've got two dogs in my heart, a black dog and a white dog." He said, "The black dog wants to do bad, but the white dog wants to do good." And the old missionary said, "Well, which one winning? Which one's winning?" And the Indian said, "Whichever one I feed the most."
Amen.
Listen, if you feed this old flesh, he'll end up getting the upper hand. You better feed the spirit. You better feed this new man. You better mortify the flesh and feed the new man. We need the Bible. We need the fellowship of God's people. We need to pray. We need to stay as close to the shepherd. I want to stay so close to the shepherd that Jesus don't even have to turn around. He can just reach back and smack the devil. Amen. I like to be that close. The Bible says in Romans 8, verse 1, "There is therefore now..."
Preach.
"Now, right now, there is therefore now no condemnation." There is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The most important thing this morning, are you in Christ? Have you trusted him to be your Savior? Is he your sin bearer? Have you said, "Lord, I'm a sinner"? As the man cried out, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." Have you done that? Is he your Savior? There's nothing else matters in this world. You can live here till you get the ripe old age of 100 and be a zillionaire, but if you die without Jesus Christ, it means nothing. The only thing that matters is that you belong to him. Amen?
Amen.
I hope you do today. Les, you and Ginger, come ahead, please. If you don't belong to him, I'd like to talk to you about that after the service. I'm so glad I'm a Christian.